Hey there, friends and family of Werder Bremen. Welcome to the live Werder Bremen post-game show, where it remains chaos. This may be the last time I do a show on Monday because I'm absolutely frazzled trying to pack this in at the end of a day's work. So screw this. This is stupid. This is, of course, the show by the fans, for the fans. And if you are new to the show, we do this show every Sunday and or Monday after the league matches are done. We host it on the Podbean app. So if you get the app and you happen to be doing absolutely nothing on a Sunday afternoon after the league matches are over, give us a listen. See if we can't defend your sensibilities and make you wish you had more things to do, like spend time with your family would be a good option. If it's not your style or you're not able to hang out with us on Sunday, you can always reach out to us on Twitter. Christian is at SVWOMYTFC, myself at NotEasyGreen, and you can send larger bits of mail if you've got them to NotEasyGreen2017@gmail.com. There's always lots going on in the Werder community, the Werder North America community as well. And you can find whatever it is that we're doing. So there's like a fan shop. There is Sooner has got a blog that he writes. There's the Instagram channel where there's regular posts there by Sooner, pre-post game stuff. So if you guys like that sort of thing, I always enjoy catching up on it. Oh, and King Ian is just telling me tomorrow's the last day for the sale. I think there's 20% off. I think it's called Everything 20. Ian, if you can confirm that for me. And I believe we are hoping to get a fresh shipment of Agu-faced thongs for all of his big fans out there. So make sure you check those ones out. And honestly, everything is happening is on the Linktree. So check that out. Linktree.com/WerderNA, linktr.ee/WerderNA. And of course, the big one is the Discord. So if you do find the link there, join the Discord. Live game chat is always a riot, especially when Werder are doing poorly and there's nothing else to watch. There's always the live chat to watch. and it gets pretty fun every once in a while. So be sure to check that out. So joining us today, and like we said, if you want to join us live, you can. Sooner is here. Juan is here because I'm not going to embarrass myself again trying to pronounce that Harry Potter crap. King Ian is with us. And of course, as always, we've got Christian with us. I think we may have fixed the mic issue least found a way around it.
I doubt it. I'm sure this is just as bad as last fucking week. What'd it do? Is it worse?
No, it's okay. It's way better. Right. Yeah, King Ian says it's better. And we say hello to Dustin, who's also joining us. So yeah, this works for now. It'll be our way around it. So until we figure this out, for sure. Christian, our listeners really disappointed that we moved things to Monday.
Yeah, well, so am I. Life sucks. the words of the great poet, G.G. Allen. Life sucks, scum fuck.
And it's words like that get you through the day. If you need any kind of pick me up, pull it together kind of encouragement, Christian's the man. Christian's the man for you.
I'm here for you in a leather thong shitting on stage like the great poet G.G. Allen.
So those that were wondering why we moved it, I was supposed to be taking a trip with my family this weekend, this last weekend here, and a storm was rolling in. So prior to that, I had told the guys, look, I want to, hang out with my family. I'm not going to be able to do the show on Sunday. And so then Christian went off and made other plans, as he should, because we weren't doing anything. And then the storm rolled in and I couldn't go anyway. But like Christian said, deal with it. Rub some dirt in it. You'll be all right.
Walk it off, champ.
That's right. So how was your weekend, Christian? What'd you get up to?
What did I do Friday? Not much. I was kind of beat.
We're going to assume you got plastered. What else happened?
No, shockingly not. It was low key. I just ate some gummies and a buddy came over and we watched some shitty movies and both of us started passing out. And then so he went home and I passed out on my couch. Saturday.
You guys are a riot.
Yeah, man. It's called getting old.
Yes, right, eh? I do that too. I'm on about my third drink or something. I look at the clock. It's 10 o'clock and I'm going, oh yeah, I better call it a night.
I mean, it was like 1:30 in the morning, but still, it still stands to reason. It's still pretty early for us. And I made up for it on Saturday night, Sunday morning.
It becomes, for those of you that are younger, it does become substantially less cool to throw up on yourself and shit your pants sitting in a chair. So, you know.
I mean, it depends on the venue. Subway or McDonald's?
Not yeah, totally fine. On a Subway, eating Subway or McDonald's? Totally fine.
Yeah. Queen and Spadina McDonald's, or anybody that lives in Toronto, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's expected. Yeah, anyways. And then Saturday, we went out for drinks, and Snowflake became Blizzard, and I was home by like 5, 5:30 or something like that. And
got tame one. Stuff. Tame
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it actually wasn't even really that hard. It just happened to be a late night.
All right, well, we'll kick things off here. Christian has got to leave us because he's got, you know, some serious therapy he has to get to later on tonight. We want to make sure he's not late for that.
Sensory deprivation tank. And I'm fucking, they're fucking amazing. I highly suggest it to everybody. And I'm that's no Joe Rogan.
All right, well, let's get rolling here. So Werder traveled away from home to the bright lights of Hoffenheim for an away fixture to be forgotten. For their part, Hoffenheim, not a real club, took to the streets to offer free tickets to try to fill out the stadium. To their credit, Hoffenheim, not a real club, finally found the sweet spot by offering fans the chance to kick Bayer in the balls. Unfortunately, they only attracted more Werder fans or those with some sense of justice and right. Although Hoffenheim is not a real club, what they were able to do on Sunday was show Werder how to play football. Clever touches from dropping strikers onto other runners in the lanes, long searching passes into space behind our back line, and what we call a general plan were all things that contributed to Werder being trampled underfoot. It wouldn't be until the 73rd minute where Werder's head coach Ole Werner would make a beautiful tactical maneuver by Marius Bulter, getting a red card. Well done, Ole. From here on out, it was Werder doing what they could with what they had to claw back into the game. A single goal by substitute and new kid on the block, Skelly Alvaro, would be Werder's consolation prize for putting together a lackluster performance. It would be this goal that awakens debate once more if goals scored with that level of elegance shouldn't deserve at least 2 points instead of one. Christian, you watched the game. Your hot take from the 10,000 foot view.
Oh boy, oh boy. What a massive lack of or massive lot of doo-doo that was. Yeah, it was tough to tolerate, but I think we all sort of expected it, especially after riding some of the highs we've been riding lately. We know that our coach has an aversion to any sort of change, despite what players bring to the table at any given time. So, yeah, we kind of got what we deserved, or we got what Ole deserved anyways. Was nice to see Skelly out there score a nice little goal. Can imagine what it would have been like if Kovnatsky and Jinma might have had an opportunity to play like a full 90 along with Skelly. But, you know, here we are, 2-1 to Hoffenheim with a pretty lackluster offensive display from us. Which I'm sure we'll get into in some capacity.
Oh, you bet we will, because we've got another 50 minutes to fill, and there's nothing but trudging from this point on.
Get your galoshes on, boys. We're going the fuck in.
All right, so yeah, we'll kick right into the things that were awesome and the things that sucked. So three up, three down, and then we got a couple of other topics coming up here. There's some, you know, interesting news that was released today regarding a Werder legend, sources say, and there was some interviews and stuff done with Ole Werner during the week that we're gonna take a swing at as well, and then of course we'll bring on Sooner at the end to clean up hit for everybody and show you exactly where you can put your money. If you don't wish to, you know, buy a burger the next time with your dollar bet. All right, Christian, let's talk about the things that were awesome and the things that sucked. What was good for you this weekend?
Jeez, not a whole fucking lot. So you have to pardon me because I'm going to have to move my face away from my phone so I can actually read what I wrote down. I'm going to have to start writing down paper. So I really only came up with two things this week, two out of three. I probably could have tried harder to find a third, but you know what? I just wasn't into it.
They didn't put in the effort. Why should you?
Exactly. fucking nailed it to a T right there. So my number one thing, and honestly, like, has been incredibly consistent this season, has been Zeddy. Zeddy was fucking amazing. Absolutely brilliant. You know, I think we're lucky to have him as a keeper. He's got to be one of the top 5-10 keepers in the league right now. I'd love to know what the stats are behind that. Imagine if he actually had like a solid defense or offense in front of him. No, he's brilliant. And I hopefully we resign him and keep him a little bit longer. Number two, and my last one, subs. They were done at the right time. And they also included a certain Mr. Marvin Dukes. Should have been probably never even fucking started, to be honest, but it was great to see him subbed off. I could add a fourth bad thing, but I'm not going to. And I'm curious to see whether you touch on it. And if not, hopefully I remember to touch on it after you go through yours. But yeah, it was great to see Dukes actually fucking subbed off for once. Imagine that. Didn't play the full 90, didn't deserve to play the full 90. Honestly, didn't even deserve to start. And then on top of that, the substitutes that came on made fucking sense. Who knew? Incredible. Almost makes you wonder, too, why Njinma didn't fucking start if he was fit enough to be subbed on. I don't quite get it. I think it might have been to placate Voltamada, which makes sense. It wasn't Voltamada's best game. But you know what? You could have played Njinma and Voltamada and not played Dukes. Or subbed on Dukes. Maybe. You know what I mean? Just possibly. Anyways.
But this motherfucker should not be starting.
Exactly. Those were my two positives from this week's game.
That is one of the audio drops that we have gotten the most mileage out of.
And we'll continue.
That's absolutely.
That has yet to be beat to death.
Well, depending on whether I touch on it or you touch on it, there's going to be lots of touching going on here today, folks. So cozy on up and get ready to get touched.
Put the mic on. Whose finger is that? Roman hands, ooh. Russian fingers.
Hello. Sooner says he didn't sign a consent form.
Hey, as soon as you tuned in, that's considered consent, my friend.
That's all right. So the first thing that I had that was awesome, we're going to duplicate on two of these. So I went 2 for 2 of your two. The first one, of course, is the Dukes sub. And yeah, we will talk about that a little bit more as the program goes on. But it was good to see as to the why that all happened. Like I said, there's a listener question that we'll get into that. The second one was Zeddy. Again, of course, keeps us from getting embarrassed. A couple of real big stops where our defense kind of fell apart, or Hoffenheim had a real good look. Like you mentioned, I the question I always have to ask myself, I mean, he's the ripe old age of, what, 28 right now? And, you know, was it this half year that just kind of pushed him to the point of being a great keeper? Like, where wasn't this guy available to us a year ago already? Why has it taken so long to discover that this guy not only is just like, well, he's a little bit better, he absolutely blows Pavlenka out of the water, and is good enough that he's now being looked at by larger teams. So to me, it just is another one of those situations where we take a look at it and it's like, you know, did our team development, the guy that was managing the first team, did he miss something? Did we not, you know, is it that extra 6 months of sitting on the bench that really did, you know, change things? I'd love to know how often this happens where we kind of, you know, we hold on to a guy and, you know, and then all of a sudden you give him a shot and sure enough, he's fantastic. I'd love to believe that it's because we waited just the right amount of time. Given this team's track record, I sincerely doubt it.
Yeah. I'd be willing to bet that in fairness, I get why Zeddy hasn't played.
Well, you had Pavlenka, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Pavlenka has been good. Not amazing, not Zeddy good, but like good, decent enough where like, you're like, do we really want to chance a guy who we don't know unless it's absolutely necessary? Like, keepers are kind of like that. It's a little bit different with like other players on the pitch. Obviously, you strive for consistency as much as you can. But with a keeper, unless he's really, truly fucking awful, which, you know, Pavlenka is not, and he's had some really great games. You're not really going to fucking take him off and give a chance to like some other kid. He has to be fucking stinking it up, which I don't think Pavlenka ever reached. And then so Zetti just, once he got his opportunity, man, did he ever fucking run with it? You know what I mean? Like he really managed to capitalize and he's cemented himself as being the number one keeper on this club now.
Absolutely. The last up that I had was a few nice phases of passing. So it has got to be said that on occasion, Werder, they were able to find the correct pass, you know, and kind of open up some chances for themselves. Agu, he missed the target twice on a couple of good chances. Dukes, I think he had a good chance where he drove a header straight into the goalie. There was another time where he, Agu mentioned, oh, bring down the house. I should make
a Agu discussion yesterday.
I should make an Agu drop. It just did. Agu. yeah. so yeah, Duck, he drove a header right into the goalie, and then he hit the post the one time there. Steya missed an amazing chance. You know, and if Werder had been clinical on half of these, you know, we're talking about a different outcome. So the reality there is that there is some truth to the fact, you know, to the fact that Werder can make these plays. They don't make them consistently enough. It doesn't happen. You know, when it does happen, that final pass is sometimes missing, and or if we do get the final pass, then the finish is missing. So it just seems to be one of those. It's an up, but it's kind of an up with a bit of a sigh afterwards.
Yeah, it's a desperately seeking an up.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about things that sucked. Christian, go ahead.
Set piece on that first, like set piece defense. Just fucking absolutely abysmal. Like that was, I mean, standard defending for us for ages. And I think we all kind of thought we were past it until it happened recently. And then we were kind of reminded about how fucking terrible we can be sometimes on set pieces. And that was a perfect example of that. I can't remember. Was it Visor or Malatini that fucked that one up?
That was Visor watching things happen in front of him. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. And yeah, he's great offensively, but Jesus Christ, that was just absolutely fucking moronic. Second one that I have here is the lack of offense. In fact, it was so goddamn fucking frustrating that we were, you know, up a man for 20 minutes. And did we score? Could we equalize? No. No, we could not. We looked like a fucking toothless dog gumming at a bone. It was terrible. Or as that fucking sample says, this is embarrassing. Oh, man. And then finally, the final, Schmid and Dukes should not be starting. This is embarrassing. It is so goddamn fucking frustrating. I think we all agree on Dukes. His body language, the way he's yelling, and the fact that I think he actually is starting to get a sense of entitlement with regards to starting on this team. And that may be playing into his actual, I guess, whatever caliber of playing. Like, why put in an effort if you know you're going to fucking start every game? And if people are content with you just scoring a goal every three games or whatever fucking however many minutes it is, you know, then you just do it and people are satisfied and you don't really have to get out there and hustle. I don't think for a second that this guy doesn't love this team. You know what I mean? I'm absolutely certain that he does. That being said, there is something deeply wrong with him right now. Werner needs to fucking pull up his pants, stop acting like a little bitch boy, and make sure that this guy doesn't start the next fucking game because he's done absolutely nothing to deserve it. And I'm sorry, Schmid. I'm throwing you in that fucking bucket as well, pal. Like, it's right now, he reminds me of a Leo. He would make a great sub. He could make some changes, but I've not seen a solid 90 minutes from him in some time now. His finishing obviously leaves a lot to be desired, which I get. His passing isn't too bad, but really right now, I need to see Skelly, especially after Skelly started that. And you do not sit Stay, who is one of our most consistent players. You do not sit fucking Linen, whatever the fuck it is.
Lulu, yeah.
Lulu. Anyways, you don't sit either two of those guys because those guys are fucking consistent.
Oh, you're going to love one of the bet on it or against it.
Like, Yeah, seriously. Like, I am almost in a fucking fit of rage for anybody that says that Stay or fucking Lena need to fucking sit. Because that is absolutely insulting and fucking ridiculous. Especially if you just look at the fucking stats. You know what I mean? So Schmid needs to fucking sit, as does Dukes. There is, and you cannot change my fucking mind on this. There is no, like, I'm going to pitch a fit in a second. Anyway. That's where I'm at.
Well, great place to launch. My first thing that sucked was Dukes and Voltomad. So there honestly seems to be no understanding between these two players. Werner, I don't know. He's apparently seeing something in practice that cannot be applied during the game. You know, this is the third, and I just took a little bit of a look at this. This is the third game that Werner has gone with this pairing up front against a promotion team, a relegation candidate team, and a team on the Schneid. So, and Werner scored 3 goals and created 4, as SofaScore calls it, big chances. Okay. In the 3 games prior to those 3, Dukes and Jinma played as a pair. So we have 2 sets of 3 to look at. And also against a promoted team, a relegation candidate, and a team on the Schneid. Werner scored 5 goals and created 7 big chances. So Werner needs to stop placing 2 strikers together who like to play the same role. It works with Njinma, even if he has a poor game, because he's threatening the defense in a different way. And this opens up space for strike partner, his strike partner, and gives somebody like Dukes a runner to aim for. It also opens up space for the midfield to kind of move in behind him. This absolutely has got to be, is a failed experiment. Again, you got 3 games on either side with 2 different pairings against the exact same kind of opponent, and you've got 2 vastly different results. And I think it's time just to abandon the Dukes and Voltomad duo.
Do you want my theory on this?
I do want your theory on this.
All right, good, because I was going to
give it to you. I want it bad. Give it to me.
Let me slide it in. All right, just the tip. So here's my thought is that Voltomada is threatening, he's posturing to leave for because of playing time. Totally reasonable, completely right to do so. So I think that now we're seeing our man there, Ole, who's petrified to take off Dukes and so reluctant to play youth, is starting to play Voltomada, despite the fact that we know that those two don't work together. And I think on top of it, I think he's hoping for the same sort of success that he had with Dukes and Luka.
Yeah.
But we know that that's just not going to happen. That was a very special and lucky partnership that we were able to witness, and it's not going to happen with these two. What he needs to do, as we've mentioned before, is fucking sit Dukes, play fucking Voltomada in Jinma, or play fucking whoever, but not fucking play Dukes. Give the other guys an opportunity to play.
I would honestly, at this point, I would even tolerate a Dukes and Njinma combination just because it offers the defense 2 things to have to look at. It just makes sense. All right. Last thing that I thought sucked was man-to-man defensive positioning. Well, and I've mentioned it before, but it bears repeating. There's been some praise for Werner's defensive structure over the last number of weeks, and rightly so. The team has performed fairly well, given the constraints with injuries and suspensions against the ball. However, these games, with the exception of Bayern and Freiburg, didn't entirely offer us an opponent with players of a certain quality to exploit this marking system. The issue with man marking is that if your opponent is clever, they can draw coverage away from where they want to open up opportunities. And this is exactly what happened. So Hoffenheim would cycle the ball to the back line, drop their midfield to match, and Werder would follow their markers. However, Hoffenheim strikers wouldn't drop at the same time. So this big gap began opening up between our midfield and back line, and then they would exploit that space and our slower center backs by either dropping strikers into those spaces, creating quick passing routes, or they would create that space, drop a striker into the space, watch the guy follow it, and then they would take off and look for a long ball into space for one of their other wingers or strikers. So it was over and over again. They were absolutely killing us with that. I think, you know, having, wouldn't you, who would you put a bet on? Bebu in a foot race with Jung, right? And they just put a 10 ski down on that bet over and over and over again. And, you know, that space was also being opened up, especially on our left-hand side, because Agu is following his mark all the way forward. So Agu leaves, you know, the defensive line. Jung is now in a foot race with Bebu, and all they have to do is put a ball into space in that corner and we're toast. The system can work, but it needs to be balanced. Like if you're playing with a team that actively is looking to draw you out of position, you need to be able to move to a zone type defense or a defense where you are guarding space as opposed to individual players. It needs to happen. I had like four or five things that sucked. I must have really been on a tear last night. And this kind of goes, it kind of goes with it. The Werder sucks against teams with strong wingers, you know, and displayed in this match against the match in Heidenheim, another good example. When the opposition have pacey wingers and like to play wide, Werder are in massive trouble. And this is, again, because Werner wants to keep the ball wide and use our wingbacks as creative outlets. And this means that the wingback is forced to play very high. And this leaves massive gaps at our back corners. Which again, talking about that and the man marking, it really does create problems, especially on the counterattack. And I guess the fifth thing that sucks. I'll get your take on this. Why is Keita not being utilized? Now I know we all make fun of him, and rightly so. He's played 81 minutes for Werder Bremen since signing in the summer. But I need to hear something different than, you know, match fitness is why he's not being used. You're down two goals. And in the 73rd minute, when you sub in Alvaro and Kovanatsky, why not add Keita? Yeah. Why is Schmid, who had a pretty rough game again, playing the full 90? There's no way Keita can't give us 15 minutes. Like if he can't give us 15 minutes, why is he there? Yep. What's the point of him being on the bench? You know, even after a long layoff, he knows how to hit a good pass, right? He would be playing as tired opposition. Like everything fits. I don't understand. I just don't understand why he's not being utilized at all.
I do. I think,
well, of course you do.
Yeah. I don't think he really wants to be there. You know what I mean? End of the day, I don't think he wants to be there. I think, you know how Ole is. He's reluctant to put anybody who's not.
We got took.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We got took. I mean, you know what? I think there was an opportunity. It was worth a shot. Obviously, it is paid off in the manner that it has. No big deal. We'll see. The talk of us like prolonging the contract or something like that.
Is
absolutely batshit crazy. And if they fucking do that, oh my God. I don't even know what to say.
And how it's positioned. Werder don't want to give Keita away. You know, like there's a lineup for this guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Like he's done a lot for us to fucking validate keeping him around too, right? It's kind of like Boré. No, we'll just sign these fucking guys that don't want to be here and don't do anything. But we'll keep them because it's good to spend money on shit like that. Fucking unbelievable.
All right, we're going to move on to the other topics of the day. So stick with us as we do that.
ESPN Plus Originals, the exclusive home of the complete 30 for 30 library.
Speaking of which, it was a beautiful moment. My kid actually said his first words. He's 8 and some months old. It was absolutely amazing. He looked right into my eyes and he said, "The exclusive home of the 30 for 30 library."
That's touching.
It's how you know you're being a good dad. All right, let's open up our first additional topic. Christian Gross, legend. Go ahead.
Man, people love the story. I get it. I don't, you know what? It was actually said pretty aptly in the Discord. It's a great story, but realistically, I think a lot was asked of him in his limited capacity. And then coupled with a lot was asked of him, a lot of credit was given to him. It's kind of like the little engine that could. It's heartwarming, but at the end of the day, this is not a player that really was amazing in any capacity. He wasn't a Diego. He wasn't an Ailton. You know, like, he wasn't a Mikud. But I guess the story, you know what? He's a local homeboy. Sure. Why not? Whatever. I don't know. I don't care. I really don't. I don't begrudge him anything, though. You know what I mean? I don't begrudge him anything. I don't, because I don't think he's a dickhead, and I don't think he's malicious. And I loathe that we were so dependent on him. You know, and I think that's actually the biggest issue for me, is the fact that we were so dependent on him. Even in situations when we had better opportunities or other players that we should have been playing, but instead we decided to go with the feel good story and play him regardless of the fucking outcome for the club. And that's where the problem at. And that's not his fault.
You know? Well, what you're kind of driving at there is the big issue, right? That, you know, football is both a human thing and a sports thing, right? Winning is a part of it. Performance is a part of it. Ability is a part of it. And then there's also the person that's a part of it, right? And what Gross had going for him, oh, and I'm going to get in trouble here by PJ.
I'm about the net. Oh, no.
But what he had going for him was the fact that he was a good guy, right? You know, on the sports side of things, like I said, you still have to get results. You still have to win. Yep. And it's kind of like the boss that is looking at, he has to fire somebody who actually isn't that great of a worker, but you know, he's a good guy. He's got a family. Well, what am I going to do? Keep employing him? You got to move. You got to perform. You got to be able to do the job. And that was just really, I mean, his feel good story, all that other stuff really just kept him hanging around, a little bit longer than not even longer. Honestly, past the second league, it shouldn't have happened. That's the sporting reality, whether you like it or not. It just is.
There's a reason why this guy was a third division player for as long as he was. You know what I mean? Like, it's not because he was a great player. That's all there is to it. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. I'm never going to be a world-class soccer player.
And you're never going to be a good guy, so.
Oh, exactly. I'm never going to be a pillar of the community. You know, we've all accepted that. Some of us, we have our pants down in a public place. But regardless of that, it's, you know, like, and I think that's the problem, is the romanticization of his story.
You know,
people tend to gloss over that aspect. But you know what? I really, like, at this point, I don't even give a shit enough. Like, because it just means we don't have to watch him play in the future. If it was like he only played one or two games and like they were like on the line and we avoided relegation or something like that, you know, like a Disney movie type of shit. But this guy played for like three fucking seasons.
Well, actually, he had the exact opposite impact in exactly those games. He put us under the wheels of the bus.
Yeah, exactly. You know, But, you know, I also recognize that we're probably in the minority saying and feeling this way about him.
And that's okay. Sometimes, you know, truth isn't for everybody. Right. But you know, in the summertime, or I guess maybe the last episode, we'll do a three nut salute for Gross.
You know, I have a sneaking suspicion this won't be the last of him.
Oh, you're going to love one of the listener questions. We're going to.
Wonderful. I can't wait.
All right. Next question, or next comment here, I guess. The question here is this really a shittier league than 2020, 2021? So as of today, Werder are in eighth place with 30 points, and there are 10 games remaining. The bottom three teams have 13, 16, and 17 points and a miserable goal differential. In 2020, 2021, the year we relegated, we were in 12th place with 30 points, 10 games remaining, and the bottom teams had 10, 18, and 19 points. So currently, in our current league, the 16th and 17th place teams are, you know, faring slightly worse with two less points each. In the year we were relegated, we were 5 points off Europe, 11 points off the playoff position. This year, we're 7 points off Europe and 13 points off the playoff relegation position. So where we find ourselves this season is eerily close to 2020-2021. So of the remaining games, this is where it gets fun. Of the remaining games, we're going to face five teams currently higher in the standings than us. In 2020, 2021, we faced seven teams ranked higher than us, which is kind of difficult because the ranking changed as we dropped like a frickin' stone. Yeah. But coming into that final stretch, so this is our relegation season. So coming into the last 10 games of the season, we took 8 points from the five games prior. Okay. This season, we've taken 7 points from the five games prior. Here's what I'm telling you. Keep the champagne corked, please. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, arguably it's worse this season, kind of. I don't know. I think our actual coach is better than the one we had then. I think he's better than Floco. I don't now don't get that
totally hot take.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Super controversial. Actually, you know what? You know,
it probably is.
Yeah, somebody out there is definitely having a fit that we're even joking about this.
Well, and that's a great question by Juan. Is our squad actually better?
Yes.
Comparative?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more balanced.
Yeah, it's more balanced and therefore better, right? And I think the individual talent, I think it's being used better, despite the fact that some of the substitutions, blah, 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 blah.
That would be a poll question to put out on Twitter.
Yeah.
To the Kofeld ball suckers and the Oli ball suckers and see which one.
Oh, I'd love to see it. I want to see the fight between the two of them. Are there still Floco,
I'm pretty sure there's Floco apologists out there.
Woo, I love it. I love it. What a fucking weird world we live in. yeah, they're still pining for him. Yeah, I think we're better this year. I'm not as concerned. I think I was definitely concerned that season. But also the season before, we had just narrowly escaped relegation. So I think at that point, I was just, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Resigned.
Resigned, yeah, thank you. I was resigned to the fact that we were going down. I had honestly cried the last game of the previous season. I was fucking drunk. It was like, I don't know, I remember it being pretty early in the morning. And I absolutely cried when we avoided relegation, but I also knew that we were towards relegation. You know what I mean? I was like, we're just barely avoiding it.
It was the equivalency of paying the minimum down, the minimum payment required on a MasterCard statement you can't possibly pay back. Yeah.
Yeah. I paid $60 on a $10,000 debt. Or whatever the minimum fucking, like, you know, it's not even making, it's a pebble in the ocean.
Yeah. It's not even addressing the principle. Yeah.
Oh, not even close.
That'd be the Werder way.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel a little bit better about the season. Do I think we could be doing better? Absolutely. Am I still a bit nervous, all things considered? Oh, yeah, 100%. But I think just in general, we'll be all right. I am curious to see where we land by the end of the season. I just look at, you look at Darmstadt, and despite how terrible we were against those teams, you look at Darmstadt, you look at Köln, and they're pretty fucking bad teams.
Well, I think Mainz and Köln are going to make it interesting for each other. It's just whether or not we are bad enough to make it interesting for us too. Like when you look at the table, I mean, we are talking about we're 30 points in eighth place.
Yeah.
We're 5 points off of being in 15th.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's a tight squeeze.
The middle of the field is really tight and that can bite us badly. Yeah.
And we've dropped some pretty essential points, you know? And here's the weird thing too, is like, there are people who are like, we need to keep Bore, because of the relegation battle, but then they also love Ole. So which is it, you know? But then you're also going to hear the excuse, well, we don't have, the right players. I don't know, man. I'm not sure I buy any of that shit, you know? I don't know. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm not as concerned, as I was that season.
No, I agree. I'm just keep it corked, folks.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Ole Werner was interviewed this last week. There was two separate events that happened this week, both of which kind of put Werner, his style of tactics, squad development, kind of at the center of the conversation. The first was a Twitch stream in which Werner was interviewed by a nonpartisan journalist and by accounts from Sooner and Michael. It seems that they asked honest, decent questions, kind of driving at the heart and mind of of Werner and why he does what he does. And the second one was an overview of tactics by Tobias Eicher, who writes a weekly column outlining tactics. And I've got a lot of time for him. I've seen enough of his stuff that I think he's pretty, I mean, he has his bias. It's there. But he does his best to be objective, I think, most days. Now, so these are the comments that are coming in from Sooner and Michael. So thank you to both of you guys that gave us these. I'm going to read what the comment was, Christian. We're going to react to it. We got about 20 minutes. So we'll see how this goes. So the first one that came in, so one theme that came up over and over again during the Twitch stream was the idea of clarity and shared understanding of how they want to play. He, Ole, wants every player to know exactly what to do in certain situations. Towards the end, he mentioned that in contrast to most other sports, football is exciting because it has phases, you know, sometimes like the last 20 minutes of a game, where something unforeseen will happen with no chance to take a timeout. And so here it shows if he's done a good job of coaching, because ideally the team will intuitively do adjustments and find solutions through the principles he has coached. Christian, what are your thoughts on that?
Feels to me more like a life coach, or like some guy giving, you know, an inspirational sort of speech at the start of the game and then lets the player, like, once again, a Disney movie. You know what I mean? Like, and also to that, this is where I think he values experience. You know what I mean? So if you look at, he'll be like, well, these old guys have been through something like this at least once or twice, so they'll know what I'm talking about. These kids won't, so I'm going to only play them if I absolutely have to. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't, I'm not crazy about it. Maybe I'm missing something. I kind of get it, because it's kind of the mentality of, like, let the players play, and hopefully something I've said will sink in. Sure, I guess. I don't know.
Well, when I read that, what I see is somebody that's probably pretty meticulous, and likely, you know, somebody that, one of those guys that has a really clean, you know, room or kitchen. Yeah. You know, the end goal with this mentality, though, and I would probably disagree with you here, the end goal, I would believe, isn't creativity, but rather security. Kind of like if we went over multiple escape route options, right? Sure. He knows he's done a good job as a coach if situation A arises and the team implements plan C, you know, or something like that. And I think that it leaves kind of all the solutions to ones that have already been created and advised on. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's a way of doing life, doing business, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I mean, you can ask yourself, are you the kind of person that likes to wing it, you know, and just go for it, figure it out when you get there kind of thing? You know, you kind of trust yourself to create a solution when a problem arises, or are you the kind of guy that likes to game theory and look for potential issues and make plans and contingencies so that you're ready? And that's what Werner is striking me as, just a thorough planner. But, you know, and it's not about creativity.
Fair. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to go on to the next batch there.
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I don't want to hear what else you have to say about it.
Well, good, because I don't want to fucking tell you.
Fine. Well, I don't even know why you're here. Why the fuck are you on this call?
It's a good question. Wondering yes, the same
it,
fucking thing.
It is a great question. All right. Giving some general ideas about what he, Ole Werner, likes to do. So this is a quote, again, translated. For us, like, it's sexually? Always important. Pardon?
Like, sexually?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think that's how those conversations usually go. Let's talk about tactics for a little bit. Then you kind of pinch my bum a little bit. And then we just move right
how
do
you on. Feel about feet?
All right, so here's a quote, again, translated. For us, it's always important to find the parts where we can find spaces and where we have a numbers advantage. And when we get the ball in these places, then it's about quick change of tempo towards the final third. He talked about how important it is that all 10 players have to know at all times their roles to either open up the correct spaces in attack or to close the spaces behind the ball. So if you normally have only three men behind you, this is another quote, if you normally have only three men behind you, normally you have problems. And then this is about closing spaces in front of the back line, and that's my job as a trainer, to give the team a clear idea and to make sure they understand it. Christian, your thoughts?
Well, that's a bit interesting considering how,
like lumbering our counterattack can be, and I mean how consistently Dux has played, and yet how little he actually provides to the attack or defense these days. You know, it's interesting that that's his theory. I mean, once again, it does feel kind of like man management may not necessarily be his strong point.
Like maybe he should be sitting in a room with a tactics board and let somebody else.
Well, just maybe give somebody else. If the guy's not, like, he's either ignoring that Dux is not doing his fucking job properly, or he's like, is he scared to approach him about it and say, like, look, I'm going to sit you out. You haven't been really doing what I expect you to do these days. Or do we just have a really shitty idea as to what he should be doing and he's doing the exact job perfectly?
Well, because of what Dux has offered in the past, I could see Ole Werner being absolutely terrified to go without him, right? That creates a bit of a power dynamic there that would be interesting. When I read something like this, I think we do see this kind of playing out at times, especially in the wings. We see Weiser get the ball. Schmid drops deep to support. There's that double six formation that started happening probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And Werder can kind of triangulate along the wings and move the ball forward. It's so often that these passes are just kind of sloppy behind the runner. They kind of get bobbled every once in a while. And there isn't enough consistency to say that this is a strength for Werder. I can see that it's happening. I can see what they're trying to develop, but I wouldn't say that it's consistent or a strength. Now, as regards to his comment about the back line, I find it fascinating that he mentions the problem of closing spaces in front of the back line and what we watched on Sunday. Werder had absolutely no solutions for this problem at all. And the second half was better, but they had been absolutely run over and they were chasing the game 2-0 already at that point.
In fairness, I'm willing to give a little bit of credit to the amount of injuries that our center backs have had.
No mercy, no understanding, no context. Look at the context.
God damn it, Ole! yeah, that's, I mean, like, up until, you know, our recent, how soon are any of those fucking guys coming back? Is anybody coming back ever?
Oh, yeah. Next week, you bet. We got him. I don't know.
Fucking do that to me.
Yeah. Juan says he's coming, so that's good.
Okay.
That's nice, Juan. Real mature.
It was the foot stuff comment, wasn't it?
Well, Veljkovic, they've got a date of March 8th coming back, which would put him in line for next week. But again, that's the closest one. And there's a lot of nagging injury things that they're just kind of observing, like Stark and Friedel. They're kind of just ongoing things that they're trying to see how it's going to go. And you never know with that. And then obviously Pieper's out long term still. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Okay. Next bit here. So he was asked about how important it is to balance. You're going to love this youth development with the pressure to win.
Christ.
And he gave a long answer.
I'm sure.
lots of ers and ahs in there. Basically, he said, as a trainer, you have to develop you have the development of young players on your radar. But the most important thing is that for every match, the best possible 11 is on the pitch. It's a results-driven sport for trainers and players, but you're also economically, financially dependent on the development of players who you can then sell. It's our job as a club to make sure that the younger players are in a place to compete for starting spots on the weekend, and then it's my job, when it's a true 50-50 call between a young player and a more experienced one, to have this perspective in mind.
And he's always going to play the older player. Always. Always, always, always has. Always will. On his radar. You know what? That's bullshit lawyer speak. Yeah. Totally, bro. We'll do it.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
I acknowledge that we should be doing this. You know, I acknowledge that it is important.
And that makes me a good person.
Yeah, exactly. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, at the end of the day, and the same thing goes with, like, results driven. So why have you not? I think, honestly, he is a man management problem. I think he's scared to approach players and to take them off unless it's absolutely necessary, like a red card, an injury, blah, blah, blah. He's always going to go with experience, regardless of what that experience looks like.
No, I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you there. His take isn't outrageous or wild or weird, no. Right? It seems reasonable and rational, right? Sure. Yeah. You know, and if I was coaching, I would say I'd have the same calculations, which is why you're saying it's the right thing to say.
Yes.
You know, you need to develop youth in order to sell and help restore slash build the club. And you need to push your starters with those youth. And I think it's why you put so much emphasis on practice performance, you know, whether it's actually taken into account, or is this like a mantra that he uses to push the youth players? You know, so the issue comes in for me with how he's using the youth players. So in the case of Njinma, we have a talented young player who was given his first chance because of an injury to a starter. Only after delivering almost every time he was subbed on did he start seeing a starting role on that, you know, on occasion, right? And so we see the same with Voltima. There's pressure about extending a contract, you know, and then 3 months into the season, he gets a little bit, you know, he gets a little bit more time, and now he's getting a little bit more time now. And you know, Leenan, who's is no youth, but by no means a youth prospect, right? But very little leash until the midfield section. The midfield was so incredibly untenable, you know, he had to try him out, and lo and behold, goddamn, he was successful, right?
What a shock. The guy who was playing in Europe against top teams was successful in our little old midfield. He was able to grasp these complex fucking tactics.
Yeah, what a guy, hey? What you get for $2 million? Well, and if I go back to my earlier thought, Ole wants security. It's why he's so fixated on knowing that everybody knows their exact role. Yeah. You know, it would also explain why so many young players have been used so sparingly, because they would be looked at as variables. They're unknowns. Yep. He doesn't know exactly what they'll do. And that's a problem for him. Yep. If we follow along the train of thought and logic, you know, when given the option between an experienced player who has a good understanding of what they're going to provide on a weekend, or a younger player who may provide a brilliant moment, make strides, but may also have a big mistake that costs a game, he's going to go with the secure move. It's a safe move. It's not wrong, but it does run counter to what I believe he's peddling as an overall plan when it comes to, you know, youth development.
Agreed. Yeah, it's not youth development is what that isn't, because you got to let the kids play in order to develop them. But if you're holding them back so you can play experience, that's not developing youth. You know what I mean? It means you're thinking about it. You take it into consideration. You acknowledge that it's a thing, but it doesn't mean that you're actually doing it. And this is where I've been kind of saying this over and over and over again. I'm curious to see how Ole fits into our supposed quote unquote new goal of developing youth for, you know, future sales, blah, blah, blah. Something I reiterate, as I did last show, we should have been doing 20 something fucking years ago. At what point will the board say he's no longer the guy to do it, because all our kids are fucking leaving to go and play for other teams, you know?
Well, and that was going to be my follow up. The currently our youth prospects, he's frustrating rather than, you know, utilizing or growing them. Because you've got to go here soon, I'm going to leave the rest of these for next week. I think there's another two or three quotes, and we'll go through them next week and kind of fill in time there. But yeah, I want to get to listener questions. Would you rathers, bet on it or against it, and all that other good stuff.
ESPN Plus Originals.
All right. I, you know what? I, after last week, I thought I'm going to create a bunch of just bumper crap for in-betweenies. I think it'd be fun. We'll get some Trump speeches going on in there. All right, so we got three listener questions for you, Christian. Werner's, and so some of these are going to be a little bit of rehash, so if they are, we can just move on. Werner's unwillingness to manage the squad / correct the squad is now holding it back as much. Oh, man, I got to read this again. I apologize. So it's probably the word is supposed to be in there to make it a question. Is Werner's unwillingness to manage the squad, correct the squad, now holding it back as much as his squad selection?
So there's two pieces.
Yeah. His unwillingness to.
And what's the other thing?
His unwillingness to manage and correct the squad.
Yes.
It's becoming a bigger problem than even his squad selection.
I would argue that it's the exact same thing. The unwillingness, or the squad selection, is a result of his unwillingness, if that makes sense. As to why he is unwilling, whether he's like, once again, as I mentioned like a thousand times, if he's scared of the players, if he's scared of playing youth players because he deems them to be too big a risk. But yeah, absolutely. I think they're one in the same problem. I think one is just a symptom of the greater issue. But yeah, it's definitely holding us back. And I'm curious to see how long we're going to allow him to do that. Whether he's going to get pressured to play the youth. Whether the board is just making empty promises saying, okay,
we're right. Are they saying the same thing? Right.
Yeah. Or like, are they just saying like, yeah, we're going to develop youth, but they don't actually give a fuck.
Right.
Whether they're going to say like, hey, look at, you need to start playing some of these fucking kids because they're leaving us and we want to make some money off them. Or if they're just going to say, look at Ole Werner, we really appreciate everything you've done for this club. We want you to take care, but we found somebody else who's going to be a little bit more, flattering to the development of these kids.
Right. All right. Next question. Is the fact that Marv was subbed off first at the 64th minute a good sign that his form is being held to par, or is this just a one-off?
I would love to think that it's a good sign, but I think it's probably just a one-off.
I was trying to figure out whether Ole was sending a message to Marv or sending a message to the media. Was Ole making that substitution to tell the media I'm not a held man, he doesn't have my balls in a jar on his nightstand, right? Yeah. Or was he doing it to send Marv a message?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good question.
Well, Sooner says it happened against Freiburg as well, so let's not get excited.
No, exactly.
I forgot that.
And we also know, like, what did Marv say after the game? Like,
he blamed the fans and the media for it. It's brilliant.
Everybody but him fucking self. And you know what the crazy part is? There's still some fans who are willing to suck that up. We're like, yep, no, absolutely. It's definitely our fault that he's playing like shit.
People like you and me are making late night phone calls to Ole Werner.
Yeah.
Ole, take that tux off. What are you wearing?
Feet stuff.
All right, next one. On a serious note, this is from Juan. On a serious note, who would have thought? I'm starting to lose hope on Voltomat. I want him to succeed, but we've seen him start games and come off the bench. Besides some good effort, he hasn't been effective. I know Ole is misusing him. I just wish he could get a goal or assist to get some pressure off his back. We'll probably lose him in the summer, so it probably won't matter. Is it too early to give up on him?
Yes. I think it's too early to give up on any of those. Well, mostly Kovnatsky and Voltomata. I just because their playing time has been so wildly inconsistent and like all over the place, like 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there, starting here and that blah, blah, played out of position, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I think it's too early. I honestly, like I'd give them a half season of starting consistently. And if they can't do it then halas, you gotta go. But I think you're right too. I think both will probably be gone. I think Voltomata will be gone on his own accord because he's going to go somewhere once again where he can play with great consistency. And then Kovnatsky will be deemed a failure despite the fact that he's been playing like all over the place. And we'll probably go on to be a half decent striker somewhere as well. Unless he completely destroyed his ego.
It's the Werder way.
Yeah, exactly. You go to Schalke and fucking score like 30 goals in 30 games.
All right. Real quick, would you rather bet on it or against it, and then we'll let you hit the road. Would you rather argue about Agu for 3 hours or spend 3 hours with a buttered Dunusi?
Buttered Dunusi. Oh, 110. And I know that's from fucking one.
Oh, you bet it is.
I want a hot buttered Dunusi all night long.
Would you rather argue about Agu for three hours or find out what Lee Buchanan's mom looks like?
Oh, Lee Buchanan's mom, 110%.
Oh, there's got to be I should create something for every time that one comes up. It's rare, but it comes up.
That's going to be the sort of joke that everybody forgets about, but we're still making like 10 years from now.
Strong pull, guys. Strong pull. Yeah. All right. Bet on it or against it. Werder finished the season with 37 or fewer points.
Ooh, fuck. Hold on. Let me see who we got.
We got 30 points and we got a like I said, five teams that are higher on the table than us we got to face in 10 games.
Yeah, that's I want to see. So we're playing Dortmund, Union, Wolfsburg, Frankfurt, Leverkusen, ouch, and Stuttgart. Damn, 7 points, eh? Ugh, that's a tough one. yeah, I don't know if we're gonna make it to 7 points, boys.
It's a tough lineup.
Yeah, maybe like five.
I'm going with 36 would be my guess.
Sure. Yeah. Fair. Like sneak a win in there, two wins.
Bet on it or against it. Dukes plays out of his skin next week.
Oh, against it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's gonna do the exact same shit we've been seeing for like the last month and a half. He's not doing fucking anything, and he's gonna bitch about it. And
you're such a downer, Christian.
I am. Give me a reason to be such a bummer, man.
Keita, bet on her against it. Keita plays less than 90 minutes the remainder of the season.
I love it. Oh, I'm fucking. I'm not even betting on it. I'm praying for it. Yeah, honestly, yeah. I bet he does not. He is not playing 90 minutes. No fucking way.
Bet on it. This is a fun one. Bet on it or against it. Skelly Alvaro's next outing will be plus 25 minutes, and Stea's position is officially under threat.
Wow, I fucking hope not, because that means Schmid is basically cemented. That would irritate me to no end. I'm gonna bet against it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just because Werner's got such a preference for Schmid, I'm wondering.
I know you're right. I just don't want to be right.
bet on it or against it. If Weiser and Voltimod were going to extend with Werder, they would have done it by now.
No, I'll bet against it. I think there's still time.
Okay. And last one, Christian Gross will be working for Werder within the next 3 years.
Oh, 100% I'm betting on that. So when you know what? When Clemens Fritz was talking about his successor, how he wanted to be another player or whatever the fuck, he was talking about Gross.
Yeah. It's the Werder way.
Gross is like actually secretly a genius.
Well, I'm hoping that Gross is actually secretly like a great stock trader or something. He's going to go work on the...
Yeah, seriously. Crypto king.
There you go. All right, dude. You've done your tour of service. I'm going to get Sooner in here, and you have yourself a great night. Enjoy your aromatherapy or whatever that is.
Aromatherapy. I know I'm going to heaven because I did my time in hell.
There you go. All right, man. You take care.
Ciao, ciao.
He's a very, very good friend of mine.
Sooner, maggot, Sooner.
It's a rink system.
Maggot, Sooner.
Nobody can do it like Sooner.
Nobody builds walls better than Sooner.
Nobody's better to people with disabilities than Sooner.
We'll totally accept the results if I win.
Welcome, Sooner Werder. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Yeah, you know. you spend an hour with Christian, and we'll see how you're doing after it.
I mean, that is, you know, that's really true.
The beauty of it is that I know he never listens to the show afterwards, so you can say whatever the hell you want.
Because he's gone now, yeah. I mean,
he never listens to the playback.
We could say anything right now, and he would never know.
Not that I can't imagine what we would say that he wouldn't just be like, yeah, that's me.
Oh man, but yeah. So you're hopefully you're not dragging too much. You said you're kind of dragging on this Monday, so
yeah, it was a long day, and it just got longer. Hanging out with you assholes.
I have a pretty short
penis. That's what she said.
That oh man, did those pictures get out?
No. All right, yeah. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it's a pretty short one because honestly, I mean, sometimes teams come across and they don't have to be good. They can be bad, but like I will find something interesting to talk about with their tactics or their stats. You know, something to hold on to it. I think is interesting. Dortmund is such a boring team. They really are. They're like third or fourth, fifth in the table. They're third and fourth or fifth in basically every major statistic in the league. They're fine. They're not great. They're not bad. They're a decent team. They allow 1.3 goals per game. That's the third fewest. And that's probably one of the best things I can say about them. They're just, I would much rather be a Werder Bremen fan than a Dortmund fan, because being a Werder Bremen fan for all the ups and downs is at least exciting. Dortmund, I feel like it's just, that's such a boring ass team to be a fan of right now. Füllkrug, obviously, is a player some of you might know.
The return of our boy, yeah.
Bremen. He's going to be coming home. You know, the one thing I will say is that we could be facing some rotation, because after they play us, they play PSV Eindhoven in the Champions League, and then they go play at Frankfurt. So
we're going to destroy them.
You're right. I mean, I don't know if they would sit Füllkrug for this game. I think Füllkrug might get really mad. I don't know if you're Füllkrug. Like, do you want to play against us in the
Bundesliga,
or like, do you want to just like be a spectator in the game and just like
Sooner enjoy? Do you want to, you know, go play t-ball against a bunch of kids in grade three, or play fastball against some big boys?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess that's a good question.
You'd be pretty freaking good if you played t-ball.
but maybe he just wants to wave and kiss a couple babies and say, yeah, I used to play here, thank you, and then leave. And maybe he doesn't want to score three goals against us.
Name a striker that doesn't want to score goals. Come on, Sooner.
Well, that is true. That's true. But he has 11 goals and 8 assists for them on the season. He's having a really good year from them overall. Daniel Malen has got 10 goals. He's also playing pretty well. In case you haven't been following them like very closely, Jadon Sancho's back. So this is kind of like 2021 again. He's on loan from Manchester United. Gregor Kobel has been injured, and so he's not playing. But Alexander Meyer, who is basically a journeyman goalkeeper, I think he came to Dortmund from Jan Regensburg like a year and a half ago. And he's the backup, and he's been playing pretty well overall. And then here, I feel like every time we play Dortmund, it's like the eternal story. I'm not sure how many people who are listening to this know this.
That time we came back from 2-0 down, that one.
I don't know if anyone really knows that happened. I'm not sure if people are aware of that. What I was going to say is Julian Brandt, the great midfielder for them. I'm not sure if people know this. He was born and raised in Bremen.
Yeah, there was lots of stories of him coming back home during one of the transfer windows. I don't know if it was this last summer. I think it was this last summer. I think every summer his name crops up. Oh, is Julian Brandt coming to Werder?
I guess I didn't see that. But I feel like maybe some people don't know this. And, you know, I don't understand why, because he never played in the youth systems for Werder at all. If someone's listening to this and you're a German, or, you know, not a German, and you just happen to know why he decided to go to SC Borgfeld instead of playing in the youth system for Werder Bremen, please let us know. He usually kills us the last couple games. So that's someone to keep an eye on. Dortmund, they're pretty good on the road table. They have 21 points on the year on the road. They're third best team in that. They usually are running in a 4-2-3-1 pretty much all the time, period. It doesn't really matter who's healthy and who's not. They're running the 4-2-3-1. So my lock in this game is I'm on like a 4 or 5 game losing streak on my
It's
lock.
Been
so
bad.
It has not been very good.
We got listeners in the soup lines right now, thanks to you.
Yeah, that's true. And they're right where they belong. In the
No. That's what makes America so great. Long soup lines, beautiful long soup lines.
I'm going to go, but for my lock, I'm going to go under 2.5 goals. And I know that some people maybe think that's crazy. But I think back to this year, like what have we seen when Werder Bremen plays this type of team? What do we see? They play defense, and especially coming off of this game where like Maximilian Bayer ate Malatini's lunch, and Bebu stole Jung's lunch money. Like, I think that we're going to see Visor.
Two more players in the soup line.
Right. I think we're going to see the more defensive structure from Werder Bremen. I think we're going to see Werder Bremen play deeper back. I think that also Dortmund they outside of a couple games that they've played against Darmstadt and Cologne, I don't maybe people who watch our team don't know this, you are allowed to score a lot of goals on those teams, and Dortmund did score 9 goals against those two teams combined. But outside of those two games, they really haven't scored a ton on the road recently. I think Werder Bremen is going to try and shore up the back. I think Dortmund's going to have a little bit of trouble finding spaces offensively. And I'm going to go with under 2.5 goals in this game between Werder Bremen and Dortmund.
Sooner. You better lock it up. You lock it up.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a big lock, all right.
Of the day.
Well, there you have it, folks. You know, if we're at the point where you're using your children's stash of cash for your next bet, that is approved by Sooner. Go out there and bet on that under 2.5 goals. Going to happen. You're going to land this one sooner. Gonna make good.
And if I don't, then it's gonna be because Dukes like scores one weird ass goal to like take us down from being 2-0 to being down 2-1, and I'm gonna be so mad. And everyone's gonna celebrate it, and I'm gonna be like, fucking ruin my life, dude. Come on.
Speaking of celebrating when bad things happen to our team, let's talk about the contest.
Right. All right. So there were looks like there were 5 people who picked a 2-1 Hoffenheim win this last week. That was Cacophony or Paul, Dustin, Ian, Matt Miller, and Christian. All picked. They all got maximum points this weekend from that game.
Honestly, that Skelly Alvero goal was so sweet, but I hated it so much. Because I was on a 2-goal differential loss, and I lost my points because of that beautiful goal. I was so pissed.
And see, I was pissed just because I had 2-2, and I'm like, man, if that Dukes goal didn't, if that shot didn't hit the crossbar,
right,
the post, I was like, dude, then I fucking hit with I would have been up 2, I would have gotten the 2-2 right. Anyways, so it's still pretty tight overall across the table.
Gepi's got some competition now.
Yeah, he does. But you know, you can set your watch on a few different things. And one of the things is what death and taxes and Gepi being a cop are standings here. He's got 13. Dustin and Lechef and Christian all have 11. Ian McHugh's got 10. Paul and El Comandante and Matt Miller all have 9. Me and Spivey are tied in 9th place with 8. In 11th place, it's Dirt 13 and Strued with 7. Big Ben and Herr Dr. Tim and Ben the Host, as I would like to call him, are in 13th with 6 points. Lohena's got 5. Condre, Juan, and Nawu, Muhammad, and Arun all have 4. They're in 17th place. Brian and Jay and Mark all have 3 points in 21. And I think that I have to be honest with you. I think Boring Anna just isn't picking. So
I think she's given up.
I think this is going to be the part of the show where we just say every week that Boring Anna's got 0. I'd like to think that maybe she's making some sort of
Boring protest. Anna, if you're out there, just put something in. Just make a guess. You could do it.
I mean, you could do what Juan does every week.
That's right.
Just pick one team to win 69 to 420. And, you know, you'll be right every now and then.
Well, I'm a little pissy because, well, first of all, the beautiful Skelly Alvero goal took away my points. And secondly, is that I am officially in the Winnipeg Bus Depot of love of the group of 4. So I'm a little upset about that. But
I love the picture of you like standing at the doorway like with your wife and infant child, and just like giving them both a kiss goodbye.
Yeah.
And saying, I have to do what I have to do.
This is something I have to do. When you're older, son, you'll understand.
You'll understand. Love it.
Oh, that's good. So, folks, yeah, make sure you get those picks in. Boring Anna, please, I'm begging you, just make a pick. That would be great. If anybody knows who Boring Anna is, please tell her just to make a pick. Get off the bottom of the basement there. Other than that, we got some interesting stuff coming up. Next week, I was talking with Brian Ramirez, who lives in the New York area, and he has got kind of a bit of a Verta fan crew going on there and doing some live watches and some vlogging. So we're going to have him on the show next week, hopefully, and he's going to talk about what he's been up to. And because I think he's a fairly recent fan too. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't followed his work super close, but it's really cool to just see some enthusiasm for Verta Bremen elsewhere in the North Americas. And so it'll be good to have him on. So that's exciting. And other than that, it'll just be that we're just going to re-rack the same damn show we've been doing for the last 5 years. So, but yeah, is there anything else that we missed sooner? Christian's gone, so he can't cut in.
I don't think so. I hope that everyone has a good week. And you know, just try not to get your hopes up too much maybe before this game. I don't know what else to say. I'm kind of defeated after like the last month. I mean, I'm just like, nah, the optimism's down on me. So, I mean, if you're out there and you have optimism, my best advice is just lower those expectations.
In so many ways, sooner watching you as a fan over the last 3 years, and I've been doing this now for 14, and then you think about guys like PJ or Le Chef, you know, and just watching the enthusiasm and excitement you have and everybody else just, but like, no, just no, don't, just don't do it. Don't get your hopes up. Don't. There's just a lot of,
what can I say?
There's a lot of history of heartbreak there, but you know, of course you always watch the games with hope and you always hope the best for your team. And that's why we're here. We love this team to death. Yeah. And honestly, thanks for all of our listeners. For hanging out with us. It's always appreciated. We enjoy our listener crew and those that hang out with us on Discord and Twitter. You guys are the reason we do what we do. And it's one of the reasons we have so much fun doing it. So thank you for making it all worthwhile. Now go to the fan shop and buy some shirts.
Indeed. Someone's got to support our habits on here.
That's right. Might be. Crack don't grow on trees. All right, y'all. Have yourself a great night. We will talk with you again next weekend.
Ciao, ciao, everyone. Have a good one.